Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. Advent. So often we think of Advent as the Christmas season, but in reality it is a time when we look forward to the return of Christ. This week we begin to look at Old Testament prophecies with Isaiah 64, in which the prophet calls upon God to tear open the heavens and come down to earth. It is a prophecy which was fulfilled in Christ's coming, and it will be fulfilled again when Christ returns. So grab your Bible, open it to Isaiah chapter 64, and join us as we too ask God to tear open the heavens. And now please take out your Bibles, either the ones in the pews or the ones that you brought with you, and turn in them with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 64. Very near to the end of Isaiah's book of prophecies, we are beginning this week the season of Advent. And Advent is a time of preparation, a time of looking forward, a time of anticipation, waiting for the coming of our Lord. We celebrate at Christmas the gift that God gave to us on that day, by becoming a man and giving himself, his life, for our sins. But in Advent, we also are looking forward to the time when Christ shall return. He promised that he would come again. And so Advent is a time of anticipation, of waiting for his return. And so with that backdrop in mind, let us look at God's word for us today. Chapter 64. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In this season of Advent, we see evidence of a broken and fallen world. It's all around us. We can't escape it. If you want to see evidence of a broken and fallen world, all you have to do is turn on the news. This past week, we saw it in Ferguson, Missouri. Ferguson, Missouri erupted into riots, looting, anger spilled over perceived injustice, fires burning, shots fired, people beaten, people arrested. And then there was a day which we lovingly call Black Friday. Black Friday, which initially meant that this was the day when retailers would go from being in the red to being in the black. They would sell so much merchandise on Black Friday that they would no longer be at a loss, but now would be making a profit. What a wonderful thing. Except Black Friday has taken on a new meaning these days. We have the Black Friday sales, in which people get into literal fist fights over merchandise, over things, because they have to have that perfect gift to put under the Christmas tree. Is that what we have become? Is that what we have elevated ourselves to in this affluent society where we have very little want? We look around the world and we see abject poverty and disease. We see Ebola in Western Africa. We see hunger, starvation, wars, rumors of wars. And yet, we have to have that flat screen TV because it's 20% off on Black Friday. Evidence of a broken world. Evidence of a fallen world. And this world has been fallen ever since Eve first transgressed. I don't want to let Adam off the hook because the Bible tells us that he was with her. And she gave him some of the fruit and he didn't put up a fuss at all. So when Adam and Eve first transgressed, they went against God's plan. He in his love gave them free will. And then they chose the wrong. And we've been doing it ever since. In Isaiah's time, he was talking to a people that had been scattered, that had been punished for their transgressions, because they had chosen the wrong as well. They had chosen to follow other gods. And God himself, with a capital G, God was just an afterthought to the people of Israel. And so God punished them. He took away the land that he promised to Abraham, to the land that he promised to Isaac and to Jacob, to the land that he brought the people to. He delivered them from slavery in Egypt and gave them this land and drove out the people who were worshiping false idols. He drove them out before them. We have, for the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at some Old Testament texts. We looked at Joshua, who challenged the people. He said, if it seems evil to you to follow the Lord, then follow the gods that you worshipped on the other side of the Nile. Follow the gods of the people of this land that you drove out. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Very strong statement. And the people responded and said, no, we will serve the Lord. Of course, in the book of Judges, then we saw that they didn't serve the Lord. 19 times in the book of Judges, it says the people of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, meaning they transgressed, meaning they didn't just do something small. It wasn't just a little white lie. It was a big sin. It was turning away from God, following false gods and idols. And God would punish them, and they would turn from their sin, and they would pray to him, and he would deliver them by a judge. In the case that we read, it was Deborah, the prophetess, and Barak, the military man, who delivered the people of Israel. We keep looking at these Old Testament texts. We looked at Ezekiel and how he prophesied that there would be a day when all the people of Israel would be gathered again into one nation. And we have seen that prophecy come true. Not once, but twice. First, in the regathering of the people and the rebuilding of Jerusalem in the Persian Empire under Darius. And then after the Romans put down a riot in 70 AD and destroyed the temple, they were once again a dispersed people for 1900 years until they were gathered again into the nation of Israel that we know of today in 1948. Today we look at these words by Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. It's a prayer that God will tear open the heavens and come down, looking forward to Christ's coming. We think of the image of Christ at his baptism. It said that the heavens opened up and God's Spirit descended like a dove upon him. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. It's also looking forward to his second coming. Christ had not even come when Isaiah spoke these words. But even more than his first coming, it was also pointing to his second coming as well. When Christ shall return and sit on the seat of judgment for all the nations. We see that in Mark's gospel today, where Jesus said, the Son of Man is like a man who went and left his servants in charge. He says, how bad it will be for those servants if he comes and finds them not doing their duties, not at their post, not keeping watch. And he says, so I tell you therefore, watch. Be ready. Be ready for the coming of Christ. It's what we look forward to in Advent. In verse 4, he says, from ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. All throughout the second part of Isaiah, chapter 40 through 66, there is this theme of monotheism. And it's a strong statement that there is no God besides God, besides Yahweh, besides the Lord. He is the one true and living God. And all the other gods are false gods. The pagans, they follow after these different gods, and each god rules over a certain thing, but God, Yahweh, is the one who created the universe with a command. He spoke everything into being. And he alone is God. And he can do all things. He is omnipotent, all powerful. There's nothing that he can't do. He's ever present, omnipresent. He's everywhere. Psalm 139 says, where can I go to hide from your presence? If I go to the depths of Sheol, you are there. If I go to the highest mountain, you are there. Wherever we are, God is with us. And God promised to be with us. Even Jesus told his disciples, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. A statement of monotheism. In verse 5, Isaiah gives us the reason for our transgression. He says, you meet those who gladly do right, those who remember your ways, but you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. The people of Israel became comfortable in all that they had, in all of their riches. They were very blessed people. And they had allowed themselves to forget why they were blessed and who it was who blessed them. We as a nation have gotten like that. We spend Thanksgiving, one day of the year, giving thanks to God. A lot of times we give thanks to God for things. You know, thank you for this lovely house, this the roof over our head. Our job, our the fact that my car hasn't broken down, you know. We give thanks for our families. We give thanks for the many blessings in our lives. And then the next day, we get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go fight the crowds for the latest technology, whatever it might be. I saw a video this past week of a couple of people fighting over a tablet. And if you don't know what a tablet is, you know, I mean, I'm not talking about a pen and paper tablet. I'm talking about an electronic tablet. It's like a little computer, a little flat thing that you keep in your hand, and it's almost like a computer by itself. You know, we get so caught up in the material things, and we forget that less than 24 hours before, we had just been giving thanks to God. Isaiah says, because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We didn't see you. And so we forgot about you. And so we sinned against you. It's so easy when we can see these gods, these carved idols. It's so easy to follow those because they're right there. We can see them. I find it interesting in verse 8 that Isaiah refers to God as Father. Only two times in all of Isaiah's writings does he refer to God as Father. He says, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father." And Jesus spoke of God almost exclusively as a Father. Your Father, my Father, our Father. When he taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." God is referred to as Father only in that verse and also in verse 63 and 16. He also gives us this image of the potter and the clay. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are the work of your hand. In other words, everything that we are is because God made us that way. And everything that we have comes from Him. We are the creation of His hand. We are formed in His image. We are given life by His providence. And finally, in verse 9, a plea for forgiveness and reconciliation. He says, "Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Consider we are all your people." A prayer of forgiveness that was answered at the cross of Jesus Christ. And God didn't just say, "Okay, you're forgiven." No, He paid the debt that we owed on the cross. He became a man, lived a life, and was tempted in every way that we could be tempted. And never sinned, but He became sin and carried our sin to the cross. He did that so that we could have eternal life with Him, to reconcile us to Him, because He loved us. John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." It's a promise of everlasting life. Advent is the Christmas season, but Advent is more than that. It's supposed to be a time of joy, of peace, of love. But there are many who suffer during this time. There are many people who suffer because they've lost loved ones over the last year. Or they may be hurting for bad choices that they've made. Or they may just be caught up in the economic times. People are hurting. People need God. People need love. People need joy. People need peace during this Advent season. Isaiah's prayer is a prayer of reconciliation. God in His love is always reaching out to us, saying to us, come, just as you are, like the hymn says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. It's the only thing we have to hang our hopes on, the only promise. It's not by what we do. It's not by our righteousness. Isaiah even says, all our righteousness, all our righteous deeds are like filthy cloth. The best of us is like the worst to God. And yet, He reaches out to us. The only hope we have is in Him, that He shed His blood for us. He did it out of love to reconcile us to Him because He loved us that much. And we celebrate Christ's arrival in Bethlehem, but we also look forward to His coming again. Jesus will come again. He promised this to us. And He will come as a judge. He came the first time as a Savior. He will come the next time as a judge. Will we be ready? As Mark said in his gospel, will we be waiting? Will we be watching? During this Advent season, let us prepare our hearts and minds. And this Christmas season, let us be mindful that others may be in pain. We live in a fallen world of sin, and we need God's grace, maybe more now than at any other time in history. God's love can be seen in those who truly understand the reason for the season. It's not about piles of gifts or materialism or trying to give each other momentary satisfaction in fleeting pleasures. It's about the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, who tore open the heavens and came down to save us all from ourselves. Let us pray. O merciful God, our Father, we thank You for the gift of Jesus Christ, Your Son, who went willingly to the cross to reconcile us to You. We look forward to the day, Lord, when You will tear open the heavens again to sit in judgment to the nations. And though we be guilty of transgression, yet we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, who stands at Your right hand and says, I paid the price for their sins. And so come, Lord Jesus. We wait expectantly during this Advent season for Your return. And all these things we pray in Your mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Now, we know how hard it is in the season of Advent to keep our eyes on what the season is all about. It's all about Jesus, and to keep our hearts tuned in to God's gift, we are offering a free movie night at Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown on Wednesday, December 17th, 7 p.m. We'll be showing The Nativity Story, so if you can, come on out and join us, and maybe bring a friend along. And if our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you will join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.